The book of James. The book of James. James chapter 1. You know how I'd mentioned a while back that I hoped to start a study in a book of the Bible, and I was thinking about 1 Thessalonians. Some of you might remember that, might not, but I take that back, and I want to start in the book of James. And that's why I never announced. If we're going to start a book of the Bible, I guess I have announced a little bit ahead before, but really, you just can't start into a study of the book of the Bible unless the Lord really leads you into it. And I feel like the Lord would have us to get into the book of James. So that's where I want to start tonight, in the book of James. And hopefully, Lord willing, we'll study the whole book through like we did the book of Colossians. And I guess we finished that up last winter sometime. And I just haven't been led to start another study in a book. But I believe tonight the Lord will allow us to do that. And so the book of James, if you found your place, we'll say just a little bit about that. Maybe start out reading a few verses. James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And we'll just read down to there and won't even get that far tonight. But your Bible might say at the top, the general epistle of James. How many says that at the top? The general epistle of James. I don't know if all Bibles do, but I've got a Scofield Bible without the notes is what I've got. But anyway, it's the same page numbers and everything. It says the general epistle of James. And so when you see that general, what that's talking about, there's a few epistles, and the word epistle means a letter that are referred to as general epistles. And the book of Hebrews is where they start. And then after the book of Hebrews is the book of James. And then 1st and 2nd Peter. And then the book of Jude. And they're known as the general epistles. And the reason they're called the general epistles is because they are not addressed to any specific place or congregation. Now, a lot of letters in the New Testament are to a specific place and a specific people. The book of Corinthians, it starts out, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, it says, unto the church of God which is at Corinth. That is a specific people in a specific place. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth. Or there's letters in the New Testament that are addressed to specific people. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 2 says, unto Timothy, mine own son in the faith. So that's to a specific person. Timothy or Corinth or Ephesians, Galatians, Colossians, all those are to a people in a certain place. But these are called general epistles. Sometimes they're called the Catholic epistles. The word Catholic, when you hear the word Catholic, you think, well, Catholic Church. But that's not really. The word Catholic means universal. Everybody, worldwide is what the word Catholic means. But I wouldn't use it Catholic in teaching, because somebody get in their mind that has something to do with the Catholic Church. That doesn't have anything to do with the Catholic Church. But the word Catholic means universal. But we'll just call it the general epistles is what it says at the heading in our Bible. So general. Hebrews is to the book of, or to the Hebrew people. Not a specific place or just the Hebrews. James chapter 1 verse 1, it says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. That's who he wrote it to, the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. And we'll look at that a little bit later on, but just by way of introduction, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 says, to the strangers scattered. And so it wasn't to a specific people or a specific place. It was to the strangers. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 says, to them that have obtained like precious faith. That'd be anybody that's saved, wouldn't it? To them that have obtained like precious faith. If you're saved, this is for you. And that's the same way it is with the general epistles. If you're saved by the grace of God, this is for you. The book of Jude starts out, Jude verse number 1, and it says, to them that are sanctified by God the Father. So that's general. And this is one of the general epistles. General in nature. Generally, it is to all believers everywhere. Of course, the whole Bible is, but you know what we mean by that. It's just generally speaking. And so the book of James is a general epistle. And all this, all we're going to get done tonight is just some background study. If you see there, James chapter 1 and verse number 1. Now, when I started reading this and studying, I felt like that's what the Lord wants us to do. We're going to start in the book of James. And I started reading and studying. And I thought, well, I'll try to go along at a pretty good pace. And I was reading and I thought, you know, I can probably get through the first 8 verses first night. And I got studying a little bit more and a little bit more, and one thing led to another thing, and I think tonight we'll get as far as James. That's what it says, James chapter 1, verse 1, the first word, James. I don't think I'll get past that tonight, but there's some things about James that I believe it'd be good for us to see before we get into the book of James. And so that's what we're going to look at tonight, just background. And if we can see from the Word of God who James is, it'll help you understand the book of James. And so we're just going to look tonight, background, this man in the Bible named James. Now, James is the Greek name for the Hebrew name Jacob. So if you're named James, you're named Jacob. It's the Greek word for the Hebrew name Jacob. And James, the name James, it means the same thing that Jacob means. It means supplanter. Now, supplanter is a nice way to say deceiver. But you know, that's what Jacob was. He was a deceiver. And we all remember about Jacob and Esau. Jacob, he bought Esau's birthright. You remember that for a bowl of pottage, and he got Esau. I don't think it really mattered to Esau anyway, but he was deceptive in doing that. And then after that, to make matters worse, he disguised himself as Esau. And you remember he went out and he took the hide, the fur, and he put it on his arms, and he went in and he deceived his father. His father couldn't see good, and he deceived him into thinking that he was Esau. And so he not only got the birthright from Esau, but he got the blessing from his father. And so he was deceptive in that. And that's what his name means, is deceptive. Now, one thing about it, when you come to the New Testament, you have James. It means the same thing, but you look in the New Testament, none of the New Testament Jameses, I guess that's the way you'd say more than one James, but none of them in the New Testament lived up to that name of being a supplanter or being a deceiver. All of the men named James in the New Testament are all upstanding men. They all, at least two of them died martyrs' deaths. A martyr is that word martyr is where our word witness comes from. That's to be the ultimate witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, is to give your life as a martyr for the Lord. They died for their faith. At least two of them, and maybe even all of them. And so the first thing I want us to do is to look at James's in the Bible, the different men named James in the Bible. Now, I hope you got your turning finger ready, because we're going to look at some different places in the Bible, and in doing that, we're going to find out which James we're talking about. So turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter number 6, and we have several places to turn tonight, and that'll help you see some things from the Word of God. I just love to study something out in the Bible and just, boy, I never knew that before. And that's how it was when I started studying about the Jameses in the Bible. Now, the Bible is not always easy to understand. How many of you know that? You read something and you say, boy, I don't understand that. That doesn't make any sense to me. Well, especially when you come to who's who in the Bible. Do you know how confusing it can be to study out the different people in the Bible when there are different people in the Bible that have the same name? There's different Jameses in the Bible. There's different Johns in the Bible. There's different Judas, men named Judas in the Bible. There's different Marys in the Bible, and you get to studying about all these things, and boy, sometimes it can be confusing. Sometimes it can be hard to put it together. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God. We're not just to read the Bible, we are to study the Bible. What does the Bible say? Where does the Bible say it? How do these things fit together, especially when we come to who's who in the Bible? And so you get studying in the New Testament, these different people with the same names, and it can really just, I spent a lot of time today just with paper and pencil and make a list here and a list here and try to figure out who belongs to who. And you know, that's how families are. You know, sometimes we'll talk about somebody's family. And we'll say, well, you mean they're brothers? You mean they're related? Oh, yeah. Somebody will come along, they'll say, well, his first wife died, and then he married her, and they had children together. So they've got different last names, but they're, you know how that is sometimes, and you didn't even know somebody was related until somebody comes along that knows, and they tell you how everybody's related, and you say, well, I didn't know that. And so that's how it is in the Bible. If we don't know who belongs to who, and I'm not talking about anybody in particular, but that's just, you know, how it is sometimes. And so here we find that even in the Bible. And I started out reading a few commentaries and what different people had to say about the book of James, and it didn't take me long to get confused. Because I'm not the only one that has probably looked at James, and you get different answers from different people. I read one commentary. I've got a commentary, and it's All the Men of the Bible by Herbert Lockyer. And he has what he says in his book, All the Men of the Bible. Well, in his book, All the Men of the Bible, he has got four Jameses in the New Testament. And so I got to looking and studying in that, but one of the Jameses that he has is because he's reading a revised version. And in Luke chapter number 6 and verse number 16, they have changed the name brother to father. And so when they do that, then they create, you have to have another James in the Bible. And I got studying, I said, that's why he's wrong on this. Because they've changed, and you have to have another James when you do that. Well, I got to reading another Fox's Book of Martyrs. He lists the 12 disciples, and he lists the different Jameses, and he only has two Jameses in the Bible. And so the more I read, the more confused I got. So I put the commentaries aside and just begin to look at all the places you find the word James in the Bible. And the Lord showed me something here in Luke chapter number 6, and I want to share it with you tonight. And I believe this answers how many Jameses there are in the Bible. I believe there are plainly three men named James in the Bible. And they're all mentioned right here in Luke chapter number 6. And so let's read in Luke chapter 6 and verses 12 through 16. The Bible said, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles, Simon, whom he also named Peter." And that's why you hear sometimes Peter called Simon Peter. Simon, who he also named Peter. "And Andrew, his brother, James and John." This is how I'm going to label them tonight. There's James number one. "James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas." I'm in verse 15 now. "Matthew and Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus." There's James number two. "And Simon called Zelotes." Verse number 16. "And Judas, the brother of James." There's James number three. We're going to look at these tonight. Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot. See, there's two men named Judas in that same verse. But one is Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. "And he came down with them and stood in the plain." And so we see there's three men named James in these verses that we looked at tonight. So first of all, we're going to look at James number one. And we find him in verse number 14. And you might want to keep your place here, and we'll turn some different places and just sort of do a little Bible study tonight. So verse number 14, "Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John." Now, James and John, these are the sons of Zebedee. We've heard about James and John before, but I want you to look, keep your place there, and look in Matthew chapter 4. And so when you read about James and John, this is one James in the Bible. Matthew chapter 4. And I haven't marked my places, so I'll have to find them as well. And we find in Matthew chapter 4. And I'm going to read verse number 21. And if you've got a Scofield Bible, it says the call of James and John, sons of Zebedee. And so it said in verse number 21, Matthew chapter 4, verse 21, "And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them." And so there we see James and John, the sons of Zebedee. And look over in Matthew chapter 10. We'll read a verse over there. Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 2. And it said over there, now this is also his choosing out or calling of the 12. It said, Matthew chapter 10 verse 2, "Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother." And so that matches what we read in Luke chapter number 6. And so these two brothers, first of all, James and John, he is James number one. Now, this James and John, they're also called the sons of thunder. Look over in Mark chapter 3 and verse number 17. Mark chapter 3 and verse number 17. And so if we don't compare Scripture with Scripture, you'd think there'd be all kinds of people with different names. But in Mark chapter 3 and verse number 17, the Bible says over there, and here it's talking about who he chose again, the 12 disciples, verse 17, "And James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James. And he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder." Praise the Lord. How do you get a good nickname like that from the Lord? When the Lord called them, He saw something in them, and he said when he called them, he said, James and John, I believe I'm just going to call them the sons of thunder. I bet they went, but isn't that a good nickname? Well, look over in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter number 9. And I believe this will give us just a little bit of insight into why they probably got nicknamed or surnamed the sons of thunder. I'll put it like this. I think we could all find ourselves having the same spirit as James and John had here in Luke chapter number 9. Verse number 51. The Bible said, Luke chapter 9, verse 51, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. Now, they did not receive the Lord when he came into Samaria. Verse 53, they did not receive him. Verse 54, and when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them even as Elias did? There's where they get their character from. The Lord called them the sons of thunder. God, you want us to call fire down from heaven and burn them all up? Verse number 55, but he turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. And so there we see just a little bit about James and John, the sons of thunder. We've either got in the church the sons of thunder or the sons of slumber. We need to be more even than both of those, though. And so that's James number one, just a little bit about him. Now, James number two, back in Luke chapter number 6. I mentioned him in verse number 15. And the Bible says over there, Matthew and Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus. James, the son of Alphaeus. Now, he is also called James the Less. He had a mother named Mary. John chapter number 19, some other places. Mark chapter number 15, I'll read this one to you. Mark 15 and verse 40. There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James the Less and of Joseph and Salome. And so he's referred to, he's called James the Less sometimes. And one thing I was reading about him said that he was short. Well, that would make sense why they would call, I don't know if that's why they called him James the Less. The Bible doesn't say. But they called him sometimes James the Less. I do know this, less is said of him than any of the other two Jameses. There's less said about this disciple, James, the son of Alphaeus. Now, it's all right not to be in the spotlight all the time, because what we do is not about us, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And just because there's not a great deal said about somebody in the Bible doesn't mean that they didn't do anything for God. I think he did a lot for God. He's mentioned right along with the faithful all the way up until the book of Acts. John said in John 3 and 30, John the Baptist said, he must increase, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He must increase, but I must decrease. And that ought to be the desire of all of us, that people wouldn't see us, but that they would see the Lord Jesus Christ. And so less is said of this James than any of the others, but that is not necessarily a bad thing. Now, I'll say something else about him a little later on. But then, in Luke chapter number 6, there is James number 3. And we find him in verse number 16. And this is the James that we want to get down to. It said in Judas, the brother of James. Judas, the brother of James. Now, you notice right here there's something significant about Judas. It just says the brother of James. Now, at this point in time, this James, he's not a disciple. He's the brother of a disciple. That's what it's telling us. And Judas, the brother of James. And this James, or this Judas here, that he's a brother, he's not a brother to Judas Iscariot. He's a brother to Judas, who wrote the book of Jude. That's who this is talking about in verse number 16. This Judas is the same person that wrote the book of Jude. If we were to take time, we won't go over that right now, but Jude verse number 1 says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. So that's the same Jude that it's talking about. So Jude, I'm going to call him Jude for now, so we don't get the two Judases mixed up. But the writer of the book of Jude and James right here were brothers. And Jude and James, in James chapter 1 verse 1 and in Jude verse number 1, they both describe themselves as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they're both brothers and they're both servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we'll leave here. Look in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter number 13, and we'll learn something else about James and Jude. They're brothers, and later on they describe themselves as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Matthew chapter 13, and verse number 53, and we'll read a few verses over there. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 53. The Bible said, and it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. When he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? They're talking about Jesus. When they heard him preach, when they heard them teach, they said, and he went into his own country there. Did you notice that? He went into his hometown and he preached to the people that he grew up with and was around. And they said, is this not the carpenter's son? Talking about Joseph. Is not his mother called Mary and his brethren? Now you know that Mary had children after the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph and Mary had a family. And when you hear people talking about the Virgin Mary, well, she was a virgin when the Lord Jesus Christ was conceived in her of the Holy Ghost. But she didn't stay that way all of her life. Her and Joseph had children. And so here are the brothers, actually it would be the half-brothers of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not his mother called Mary. And his brethren, James and Joses and Simon and Judas. So there's James and Judas. Verse number 56, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? So, James and Judas, the James that we're talking about. And when you read the book of Jude, James and Jude were the half-brothers of the Lord Jesus Christ. But neither one of them comes along and says, hey, now, you better listen to me. Jesus was my brother. They don't do that. They come along and they say, I am a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it doesn't impress the Lord much who our family is. It impresses the Lord what we do for Him. But you know, a lot of people, they try to, you know, up themselves by, look who I'm related to. But James and Jude, they never do that. They just say, we're the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a good lesson there in that. And so James and Judas, they're the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, go to Acts chapter 1. We're following James through the Bible. And we find these Jameses in the Bible mentioned, all three of them in Luke chapter number 6 and Acts chapter number 1. So we're following these three men named James through the Bible. I believe these are the only three men named James in the Bible. But Acts chapter number 1, we're going to read over there in verse number 13. We're going to read about these three Jameses again. Acts chapter 1 and verse 13. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John. There's you, James number one. And Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus. There's James number two. And Simon Zelotes and Judas, the brother of James. There's that third James, Judas, the brother of James. Now, I believe the reason I took time in Luke chapter 6 and showed you some different little things over there about the different Jameses, I do not believe that James, Jesus' brother, was saved until after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus had lost people in His family. You know, sometimes we get disheartened. We get discouraged because we have people in our family that they've not been saved yet. But you know, Jesus had people in His family that weren't saved. That ought to encourage us. They will never be saved until they meet the risen Lord. They won't be saved. They've got to meet the living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, just like everybody else does. And Jesus had people in His family that were not saved. Now, proof text for that is John chapter number 7. Now, keep your place in Acts chapter 1 because we're coming back there, but I want you to see this in John chapter number 7. And if you've got lost people in your family, this ought to help you to continue to pray for them and to trust that God will save them, because all the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus had people in His own family that wasn't saved, that hadn't believed upon Him. Say, well, my family ought to believe because I believe. But if Jesus had people in His family that didn't believe, what can we do about it? John chapter number 7 and verse number 2. The Bible said, now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. Hey, if you want to get famous, this is what you ought to go and do. You know, boy, your family, they always have all the answers, don't they? And so they're advising the Lord Jesus on how to conduct His earthly ministry. But look at verse number 5 and underline it, what the Bible says. It said, for neither did His brethren believe in Him. His own brothers weren't believers. For neither did His brethren believe in Him, is what the Bible says. And so He had lost people in His family. James is never mentioned. James, the brother of Judas, although Judas was a disciple, That's one of his brothers. But James, you never see him following, obeying, being involved in any way whatsoever. And so before the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, James, his brother, hadn't even believed on him. James wasn't saved. But the good news is he does get saved. And not only does he get saved, he becomes a great leader in the early church. And so the Lord is able to take unbelievers in her own family and save them and make great Christians out of them. Now the turning point. Now Acts chapter number 1, that's the day of Pentecost. That's 40 days after the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was 40 days before Jesus goes back to heaven in Acts chapter number 1. But the turning point for James, I believe we find the key to that in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And I'll read this for you for sake of time. But in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 4 it said, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James. James, his half-brother, saw the risen Lord. After he died, after he was buried, but after he rose again, he saw the Lord. And the Bible makes special note of that. He was seen of James. And I believe that's when James got saved. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And so, James gets saved. In the book of John, he's an unbeliever. But in the book of Acts, look back in Acts chapter 1. In the book of Acts, James is a believer. James is there with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we've seen the three Jameses in verse number 13. But in verse number 14, Acts chapter 1 verse 14, it said, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. That's where James was. With his brethren. Now, James is with them. And we find James in the book of Acts. Now, look over in Acts chapter number 12. Now while you're turning over there, James the son of Alphaeus, he is not mentioned again after Acts chapter number 1. He's never referred to again in the Bible. Fox's Book of Martyrs says that he died as a martyr. Fox's Book of Martyrs, though, is not the Bible. It's history. And I believe it's true history, but it's not Scripture. And Fox's Book of Martyrs says that all the disciples suffered a martyr's death. And if you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, it tells about every one of them and where history says they died. And history says that James, the son of Alphaeus, died a martyr's death. And so, but he's never mentioned again in the Bible. I'll just say that. He's never mentioned again in the Bible. But in Acts chapter number 12, the other two Jameses are mentioned again. Acts chapter 12 and verse number 1. The Bible says, now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. That's the first James that we studied about. All right, he's dead. After Acts chapter 12 and verse number 2, there's only one James left in the Bible. So anytime after this you read about James, it's talking about the man that wrote the book of James. And this helps us when we come to study the book of James in understanding what he's saying. And we'll get into more of that next week, but let's just look on over to verse number 14. And this is talking about, okay, James, the brother of John. He's killed with a sword. Herod, he sees that that pleases the Jews, and he puts Peter in prison. And he's going to put Peter to death. This is what is happening in Acts chapter number 12. Of course, we know what happens. An angel of the Lord comes and delivers Peter. And that's where we'll start in verse number 14. The Bible said, verse number 13, and as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. When she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. You're crazy. He's not out there. We've been praying that God do something, and God did, but, you know, that's sort of how we are. They said, you're mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then they said, it is his angel. Well, he died, and his angel came. Verse 16, but Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, go show these things unto James. That's the man that wrote the book of James. And so God, the Lord not only save James, but we'll see, getting into it a little bit next week, James became the leader of the church at Jerusalem. And so when Peter gets out of prison, he comes and he's got a message. He said, now, first one you need to go tell James. James is in a place of prominence. He's in a place of leadership. Go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. So James, that wrote the book of James, it's very important in reading and understanding the book of James that this James, what his background is. And it's shortly after this that he writes the book of James. So that's where I'm going to leave off and probably pick up, Lord willing, next week. But James is present at the beginning of persecution. And he's a leader in the church at Jerusalem. And I know that's a lot of information and looking tonight, but you know, I didn't notice anybody drifting off either. And so looking here and looking there sometimes, that's a good thing. A lot of information, but it's important. I didn't realize I was going to get into all that when I started, but I believe it'll really help us understand as we get into the book of James. And the first thing he's talking about is when trouble comes in your life.